Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and praise the Lord that you were able to join me for the broadcast today. On yesterday's broadcast, I began a message entitled The Communion of the Saints, and we were looking at the five different meanings of that word koinonia as it's used in the Bible. And just by way of brief review, incidentally, if should you ever miss a broadcast or wish to rehear it, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can listen at your convenience to the podcasts that are archived there. But the word koinonia has five different meanings as it's used in the word. One is a socioeconomic practice. It refers to a community of goods, and we see that outlined in the early church. In that second chapter, it talks about them having all things in common. And then there was also a common participation and sharing. There was a contribution of material wealth, whether spiritual or material, to the poor brethren. You know, Paul emphasized that a great deal. In fact, that's why the deacons were organized, that they could minister to the, in a practical way, to the needs of the body of Christ in that day. And also in a larger, deeper sense, what I really wanted to focus on is the mutual sharing of privilege that we have as the saints of God. Remember, that word means a common participation or sharing in something. So we share in the privileges, all the privileges that are in Christ Jesus, the blessings of the new covenant, as well as a mutual sharing of duties and obligations. In other words, we've accepted Christ, and as we mature in Christ, then our desire, our heart's goal is, What does Ephesians say? We're, the fivefold ministry is given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we all come unto the measure of the stature of a perfect man, unto the fullness of Christ Jesus. That's the goal of the Holy Spirit. And so the fifth meaning of koinonia that I'd like to share with you is the one that is perhaps more exalted and precious and sacred. The concepts that I've shared with you thus far all refer to a mutual sharing with one another. All those four foregoing concepts refer to us relating to one another as the body of Christ. But the highest koinonia is that of partnership and fellowship with God. John speaks of this higher koinonia, or communion, if you will, in 1 John 1:3, when he writes that our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship with one another, beloved, depends on this previous fellowship with God, because he goes on in verse 7 to say, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so it's still a mutual or common sharing. It's a reciprocal giving and receiving, going back and forth, a flowing of divine life and love. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And so we see that this mutual activity can be summed up in two words, grace and faith. What is grace? Well, a short definition, some have said, is unmerited favor, which is true. It's spontaneous, unstinted, generous, divine giving. And faith, of course, is our action. It comes out of our spirit. It's our action in receiving grace and surrendering ourselves without any reserve unto the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, Paul closes that particular letter by these words, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Isn't that a wonderful benediction? The grace of the Lord, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So if we, it's hard to describe in words, but it is a spiritual reality. Our fellowship with the Lord, it'd be hard, very difficult to explain to someone that's not saved. They couldn't understand it because the unsaved natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But beloved, this is our fellowship with God. And because of that, we can have a wonderful, beautiful fellowship with one another. And if we will do that, if we will walk in that, in the Spirit, there won't be strife. There won't be backbiting. There won't be talebearing. There won't be the kinds of carnal things that the devil wants to stir up using our flesh nature, but we will enjoy a beautiful communion of the saints, which I believe is a foretaste of heaven, because in heaven there's no strife. There's perfect harmony and unity. So let's look a little at a few more scriptures about the communion of the saints. Well, we see that this is very close and dear to the heart of God. In that beautiful chapter found in the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, Christ prayed for this kind of unity and communion, that we could be one in the Spirit. And you know, truly, it is supernatural, because my spiritual family is those who are part of the UCM family through the correspondence ministry. I send out a monthly letter, which is meant to encourage and inspire. And of course, I have a larger spiritual family. Of course, some of you know, it's mutual sharing, and some don't respond. I know there are many that listen and probably will never write, and so I have a larger spiritual family in terms of the radio listening audience. But God has desired that we have such a unity, and I've experienced that. There is such a supernatural love that I have for my partners in prayer. There are times that I can be going about something in my day, and I think of a need. As I personally pray and minister over every letter, I pray over every letter and the needs that are contained that do come in, and then I respond in a personal way over every single letter that comes in. And so there's a personal relationship. I can recognize handwritings. People don't even have to put their name on their envelope if they've been a part of my family for a while. And I, you know, I can even tell you the address because of that. You know, God's kept this ministry small enough that I'm able to do that. So there is a divine love that God places in my heart for the members of Christ's body, some I've never seen. I may never see until we're together with the Lord. But that does not mean that that love is not real, is not genuine. And I know it's a supernatural work. I know you can feel it. You can experience it. And I just praise God for that. But Jesus did pray, going back to what I was going to share in the 17th chapter of John, verses 20 through 21. He said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Praise God. And so we see that Christ prayed for this communion and fellowship, and his presence is promised in the communion of the saints. When we gather together in that kind of unity in the Spirit, Matthew 18 and 20 says, "For whether two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And that is true not only in terms of coming together in literal physical fellowship, which occurs when we gather together in the home or in the church. There is a marvelous manifestation of God's presence that I declare will not cannot be duplicated, cannot be replicated anywhere else. No matter how anointed you might be in your own time of prayer, there's nothing, and God has ordained it that way, that takes place with His presence that is promised. He said, where two or three are gathered, He promises there's a special anointing, a corporate anointing that occurs when people's hearts are in unity. And beloved, I think back to the services we used to have, when there is a willingness to let the Holy Spirit move to have His way, and God's people, their hearts are united for that purpose of meeting with God, beloved, I tell you, there's an anointing that you just have to experience to know. There's just no way to describe it. Unfortunately, in a lot of churches today, they love God and they're sincere, but they don't allow the Holy Spirit to move. It's a, you know, it's a program. We've got three songs. We've got this long to, you know, do the offering, and it's all very orchestrated and very controlled, if you will. And because man controls it, you know, well, Holy Spirit, you've got like 2 minutes, and sometimes they don't even give Him an opportunity for those few minutes. And so, you know, we can be blessed, but it's nothing like letting the Holy Spirit have His way. And I know some of you out there know what I'm talking about. Praise God. Now, how can we experience His presence? Well, we do that in exhortation. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Beloved, the days are getting very, very dark. And if ever we needed to hang together, to pray together, to stay together, to be in unity, is now, as the time and the approach of our Lord Jesus draws near. Romans 12 and 15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. If we are truly united in Christ's love, that's what's going to happen. Hebrews 13 and 3 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Praise God. And a final scripture, James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise God. And with that, I do invite you to, it says, you know, confess your faults to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. And if you need healing on any level, physically, mentally, emotionally, or in your circumstances, I invite you to write. The announcer is going to give you that contact information, and I'll respond back personally with whatever the Lord gives. Multitudes literally have been blessed over the decades through this ministry of correspondence. Thank you for listening. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.